All right, welcome back, everyone. I hope you got the chance to hear the last program, or all of them, any of them you'd like, but the last one we really confronted the nicotine scam that's out there. It's pretty bad. Another aspect that I don't think we covered is that they are saying, or he is saying, that nicotine is mandatory for your body to be able to manufacture insulin. Now, neither Erica nor I smoke, nor do we take nicotine supplements. And somehow, we've been able to manage to produce insulin, at least most of the time. How are you, kiddo?
I'm laughing.
Yeah.
It's at the point where these people can say anything and somebody will believe it.
There's no accountability, and people don't even try. They just, it sounds good, if it pushes their hot button, they're on it. Boy, they'll adopt it right now. It's really crazy. And that program, I hope you all go listen to it. And look, everyone has a right to say what they want. That's fine. P.T. Barnum knew all about it. He's a sucker born every moment. Now, most people with 5 hour a day cell phone addictions, they're worse than suckers. It's just awful. It's all digitized, Pavlovian manipulated existence. And most people just do not question. They do not think. They don't challenge. If it sounds right, they'll accept it. And you're right. I mean, people can say almost anything. This is worse than the world is flat.
More accurately, if it aligns with their belief system, and you know, you can go surfing the internet and look for ideas that align with your belief system and then feel validated, and whether they're accurate or not.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You know, you create your own reality.
That's what 5 hours a day on the cell phone will do for you. It'll create your reality. I keep saying that. That is the reality that most people reflexively relate to when they come up with any kind of a question. That's their reality upon which they predicate their beliefs. It's what they see. It's what they're exposed to all the time. What a game. Wow.
And they don't want to be challenged on it either. They will get very defensive.
They'll defend it. They'll defend it. Exactly. Here's a little quickie here. This is a post. Erica sent this to me. Nicotine destroys the nanotech. Also, it can stop the spike protein from attacking us, which causes shedding. Doesn't work for everyone, but it's good for some reactions. Graphene needs to be detoxed out. Detox baths are beneficial. Well, there's another bright light for you. Look, these people are dangerously dumb with this kind of rhetoric they're pushing around. And I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying what they're spewing is beyond counterproductive. It's feeding the beast that is devouring humankind. All right, go ahead. There's two more here. Go ahead with the next.
All right, you're going to love this. What I think is that if smoked, get ready for it, the tar coating could prevent you by trapping it. Then your own mucus could bring it out.
What if I don't want to be prevented? She read that exactly the way it is. If smoked, the tar coating could prevent you by trapping it. That's a sentence. Finish.
All right. There are some articles posted. Oh,
wait. Finish that second one, the mucus line.
I thought
the
I
last
did.
We'll go ahead and do it again.
Okay. What I think is that if smoked, the tar coating could prevent you by trapping it. I think maybe this person meant protect.
You think? Okay.
Then your own mucus could bring it out. Now, you want to say anything about tar?
Tar baby, you go ahead.
Well, you know, that's really probably one of the worst effects of smoking.
It's awful.
It's a sticky
brown
substance
that
accumulates.
That's why your lungs are black when you have lung surgery.
Yeah.
It's black with tar.
It's sticky. It's brown. It coats the lungs. It coats the cilia, which are the tiny hairs in the lungs that help sweep away pollutants and other harmful substances. And when they stop working, you know, they'll die. And then the tar itself is full of chemicals, hydrocarbons. And if it destroys the alveoli where the gas exchange takes place, you know, where you bring in oxygen and breathe out CO2 and whatever other toxic gases are, you know, being produced in your body, you've got COPD or emphysema.
Don't forget the biggest toxic reservoir in the pastime of smoking are the probably over 1,000 different chemicals, unlabeled, unidentified, put in the paper. It's in the paper.
Right, yes.
So you light up the paper and you inhale all of those chemicals. Who knows what they're doing? Nobody knows, but they're there.
Well, they're rationalizing that now by saying, well, just, you know, don't get this. The factory-produced cigarettes, just roll your own.
I see. Okay. Now, never mind how tobacco
is grown. Products of combustion are your carcinogenic.
Right.
So.
And don't forget, when they grow tobacco, there's no limitation on what they can put in the ground.
That's true.
Herbicides, pesticides, and somebody told me they're all the same, of whatever. They can put anything. Glyphosate. To keep the weeds from interfering and getting in the way of the tobacco plants. So that's in the soil, and it's uptaken by the tobacco plant. It's in the tobacco plant, and you smoke it.
Yeah.
There's that, too.
Whatever's in there is going into you. You're right. And, you know, the whole thing about nicotine being, you know, the beneficial compound that we're after, what about all the people who were vaping? Just prior to COVID, who are ending up in the hospital? I mean, there's some speculation now. Were those the first cases of this virus? But a lot of those people, I mean, if the nicotine was supposed to be protective, those people don't appear to have been protected. So again, we have to ask ourselves: was it the nicotine, or was it something else, like the habituation to low levels of carbon monoxide?
There's a good point.
And there was a lot of discussion about that early on, and now that's gone mum.
Right.
But you can still find threads about that on the internet.
All right, just one
more.
Yeah,
written by some
here.
Distinguished people. Anyway, let's finish up this tar nonsense. There are some articles posted, if you do a keyword search, on how smoking helps lungs clear environmental toxins in the air. The tar is protective. This plant medicine... This plant medicine has been used for years and years in other cultures, but it has more recently been vilified. If you smoke in moderation, choose organic tobacco only. There are harmful chemicals in most brands of cigarettes these days. Well, that's true. But nevertheless, products of combustion tend to be carcinogenic.
Papers. What's in the papers can be carcinogenic. There's over 1,000 chemicals.
Well, she's saying, you know, roll your own.
Don't reveal any of this.
Roll the leaves.
I've seen somebody actually could roll it one with one hand. I thought that was pretty dexterous to do that. Yeah, okay. All right, well, there's your little tar baby update. We would assume that most smokers then shouldn't ever get COVID or be bothered by anything, right?
Right.
They should be defended,
protected.
Other cultures are doing it. Okay. All right. Now we've got a video here, and it's all about turbo cancer. Not the first we've had, but we just want you to know that because it's not on the mainstream news menu, doesn't mean it's not ravaging millions of people. It is. You're just not worthy of hearing about it. So the mainstream media doesn't talk about it. They talk about the inauguration and all the other more important things. Now, never mind that the decision was made to liquidate 1 billion, 2 billion, maybe more, people with these shots and with the bioweapon virus itself, which produces lots of deadly spike protein. And how, let me count the ways. How many ways is spike protein able to kill? Scores of ways. That's what makes this difficult to cover. There's so many avenues of death that the spike protein will take you down. It's crazy. All right, tell us about this video here.
Well, this is yet another story of somebody who developed turbo cancer not long after receiving the vax. And this time it was pancreatic cancer, just out of nowhere.
I'm going to go now to Annette.
By the way, we should quickly mention that pancreatic cancers are epidemic now, very common, as gallbladder troubles. And Eric is projecting now that liver problems, liver damage is a big unknown in most circles now.
Yeah.
It's a big problem. This thing is so multifaceted in how it destroys life. Okay, this is Children's Health Defense, CHD, and we very, very much appreciate them and all the work that they've done, gathering stories from real people who are really dying and have died. And on this particular story, there's a husband and wife. The guy appears to be sitting in a wheelchair. She's standing above and behind him, and they're both smiling. I don't know how they do that, smiling. They're facing it. He may be gone now. I don't know. Let's take a listen to some of this, okay? Here we go.
Story for today. Welcome to the show, Annette. It's lovely to have you here. Thank you for being here.
And thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be a part of your show.
Well, we're very grateful. This is about your husband, Marty, and taking the Pfizer shots. Let's go back and talk about Marty as a person before he took his Pfizer shot. Describe your husband.
Oh, my God. He was such a wonderful man. Happy, enjoyed his dogs, his life. He loved golf. He loved boating. And he had just retired in December of 2022 at 75 years old. He was a very healthy 75-year-old person. And he was looking forward to his retirement very much. And we were married for 38 years at the time that he passed.
And that, what made him take the Pfizer shot? What made him think it was a good idea to take one of those shots?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think peer pressure was pretty strong. Physician's recommendation was very strong. And fear that was instilled on everybody was very strong.
See, that's the way it worked. You most of you remember that. Peer pressure, all your fault. I got it. What's wrong with you? You're one of those paranoid alternate news types. Doctors, you got to get the shot. Everyone's getting it. We need to protect ourselves from this this terrible COVID virus that's coming around. And then fear. It's almost always about fear in the end. That'll scare you into making the wrong decision.
And although I tried to talk him out of it and gave him quite a large pile of paperwork that I've compiled from various articles that I had been reading and information that I had been researching about the dangers, especially of the mRNA gene therapy that was being hidden as a vaccine. And I don't think he read any of it. I think the peer pressure was tremendous, mostly.
Okay, so now he took three Pfizer shots.
Yes.
Can you talk us through what happened after each one? So he took the first one. Did he take it in a doctor's surgery, or did he take it in a pharmacy? Where did he go?
Well, he went to a pharmacy. I actually went with him. I tried to talk him out of it the whole time in the car, but it was hard to find the vaccines at the time. It was in March of 21, And people were running around trying to find them. And I went with him because I was hoping I could avoid this procedure on him. And so we went to a local drugstore.
Remember the panic? You all remember the panic. Yeah. I can't get an vaccine. I can't get one. I've got to get it. I've got to get it. The fear was running rampant. And everybody was pushing everybody. And this poor woman, married 38 years now, so we'll take away two. She's married 36 years, obviously begging him not to. Gave him printed documentation, everything. But I want to know where this peer pressure was coming from on a 75-year-old retiree. What the hell,
television?
His golf partners? Odd. He wouldn't listen to his wife. He wouldn't even read the paperwork.
I know countless people like that.
I don't know any. I don't have any friends, so I don't know. But I don't know. I just don't understand it.
They were glued to the television. Or the screen.
You didn't even have to tell me not to get it. We argued about a lot of things, but never about that. I knew. But this poor lady, even on the way to the damn drugstore. Sorry.
It was March 2nd, 2021, and he took the vaccine, and he stayed in there 15 minutes as they were watching each person that was getting gene therapy.
Gene destruction. It's not therapeutic. You had to wait 15 minutes to see if you were going to fall over dead. That's what they had to wait for.
And he didn't have any side effects. He got back in the car and went on with his life as normal. And I was happy he didn't have any side effects. I was hopeful that he'd be okay.
And then we went for a second. How long after that was his second shot?
Well, he followed what he was told on TV by physicians to go 21 days later. So on March 23rd, he went to another drugstore location and got his second vaccine. It's pretty much the same, no side effects at all. And I kept praying that he'd be okay. And then he went for the booster in October 19th, 2021. And again, no side effects.
Remember, the booster is just another dose. There's nothing different about the booster to speak of.
So as time went on, I just figured he would be okay. So not everybody had side effects, and not everybody was okay without side effects.
And then what happened? Because he started to get sick.
He retired, as I said, at the end of 2022. And somewhere around April of 2022, he started to look a little pale. And he was tired. He was very tired. And I just chalked it up as to playing too much golf in his retirement, honestly. And his doctor sent him for some blood work, and the blood work came back on May 10th, and it was quite scary. He had stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which had metastasized to his liver, and that was followed up by a biopsy of his liver to confirm it. And the only way I can describe it is a turbo cancer.
I'd say that was what he waited 21 days for the second shot. I'm not sure if he had had the third shot by the time of this diagnosis. I guess so. So that
yeah,
would have
it,
been,
it sounded like it was not. Didn't you say or late 2021 or early 2022?
Yes. So that would have been just a period of months, few.
I never saw anything like it. I never saw somebody so. Feeling so well and then getting so sick so quickly. Then 8 days later, he got up in the morning and he walked over to me and told me he couldn't see and he needed help. And I presumed he was having a stroke. So I called 911 and I called our doctor. And I helped him and he was taken to the hospital. He was taken to the stroke center. We're in Naples, Florida, and the closest stroke center is in Fort Myers. So I called some friends and had them drive me there because they didn't allow me in the ambulance. And he was rushed to the stroke unit, and anyway, a doctor there said that his carotid artery was 100% blocked. And it was because the cancer in his pancreas was shooting off blood clots. And it was very common for stage four pancreatic cancer. So my husband, who was still coherent, wanted them to do a procedure to unclog his artery in the hopes that he would improve from that situation.
How does cancer throw amyloid clots? I think she's missing something here.
No, cancer is a hypercoagulable state. I mean, it is common to have blood clotting.
100% blockage, that's an enormous onrush of clotting. Okay.
True. You know, he may have had some, you know, developing, but then right. It just took off with these shots.
All right.
We authorized them. They did the procedure. It was very successful. And we were told the next 48 hours were critical. And the next day, he was in really, really bad shape. He was given his last rites. We authorized the hospital to put him in hospice. He was transferred to hospice, and he passed away in the ambulance on the way to hospice. So it was a horrible 10 days.
It's absolutely awful. And that explain to people why you think it was the jabs that caused the turbo cancer.
I'm trying to make it as short. I don't have a lot of time, but I can tell you what I've researched. And Pfizer Biotech, in my opinion, lied to the FDA from what I've researched. They changed the promoter, and for your viewers that don't know what that is, the promoter used in the jabs was chemicals to take out DNA because there was an overwhelmingly amount of DNA. And they used that certain promoter, which was a PSA promoter, in the trials. But they realized for efficiency, it wasn't going to work because they had to mass produce the drugs. So they changed the promoter to the SV40 virus without telling the FDA. And from what I found out later, from a lot more research, mostly research I had done from Canadian scientists and gene therapists, is that because my husband had three gene mutations, which we've known about since 2002, the SV40 virus promoter that was used in the jabs was basically murder, because his immune system was destroyed. And nobody with gene mutation should have ever been given those gene therapies. Nobody should be given gene therapy without informed consent, as we all know. And I also learned other things that Pfizer had done, that 1,223 people had died in the first 3 months of their trial, or their supposed trial. And that was hidden from the FDA. And so there was many things that Pfizer, I'm saying it was illegal, but the FDA went ahead and gave them emergency use authorization anyway, and I'm not sure if the FDA knew enough to do that. I'm presuming they didn't have enough information to give emergency use authorization.
Well, giving EUAs is no problem for the FDA. They just do it. It's all money, and I think most of you know that. Money. It's all about money. So they're giving the EUA, and they got it, and it's off to the races. And they haven't stopped. We should mention that, too.
Anything that comes under this emergency pandemic
use
thing is
authorization. They're still giving shots, is my point. Any Rite Aid pharmacies, for example, I've called, and they're booked. They're giving 60 a day, 40 a day. Whichever store you call, they can get different amounts, but people are still getting. I've been in there occasionally, and I'll see people going into the little death room where they get their shots. They'll sit and wait in their waiting chairs, and the death merchant will come out and say, Mr. Smith, come on in. And they go in, and the door closes, and when they come out, they've gotten the shot. Many, many have gotten the shots recently. It's not slowing down, apparently. We don't
a person in a vax injured group. Let me see if I have it here. Yeah. Oh, let me read this. This is really unbelievable. This is in the tinnitus and hearing loss after COVID vaccine group. So, these people are living with intractable injuries. And this person said, I have a personal update to share. My tinnitus started after the second vax, back at the beginning of this journey. I went 3 years without any other vax. About 6 weeks or so ago, I caved in and I got the pneumonia vax. My tinnitus stayed the same with no increase. Last Friday, I got the RSV vax, and I'm happy to share that I have no increase in my tinnitus of any kind. I am planning to wait a bit longer this time, but I am intending also to get the shingles vaccine. I have mostly adjusted to this ringing in my head that hasn't diminished one iota in almost 3 years, and I feel like I have made it through the worst of the worst. But I am hoping against hope that someday they will find a way to answer that damn phone, as Uncle Leo once said in a Seinfeld episode.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I do come across these things periodically.
They just want to believe. They want to believe in the government. They want to believe that vaccines are good and they will help them. Wrong.
Even though they're crippled. I mean, to lose your hearing or to have to listen to ringing in your ears 24/7.
Think of the sleep deprivation. Oh.
I can't imagine. Why would you take a chance and further damage your body?
I don't know. They want to believe. That's all I can guess. Here we go.
They're zealots.
That's right.
Vax zealots. And there's no getting through to them. I just, if getting injured from one of these things doesn't do it.
I don't know what it'll take. You're right. You're totally right. Well, the guy that got the turbo cancer, the pancreatic cancer, he was gone in a matter of just weeks, a few months. Gone. Gone, gone.
That's par for the course with these things.
And then I've also read that there was the emergency use authorization was given, and I'm trying to find my notes because I took a lot of notes, was actually given to a drug called Comirnaty, which was the Pfizer biotech drug, but it was never released in this country. So I don't understand how they can give approval for a drug they never released. So it's all very confusing to me. The facts don't line up, and I'm presuming that Pfizer did a lot of things they shouldn't have done. And when I heard Kevin McKernan talk about, and he's from Canada, he's a gene expert, talk about how people with gene mutations should have not been given the drug because it causes their immunity system to collapse. I almost collapsed because I felt like my husband was murdered.
So you believe that if he had not had the jabs, then he would be here today?
I do, absolutely, 100% believe that.
Have you had a chance to look at all the vaccinations now? Is there anything that would ever make you take a vaccine?
No, I will not ever have any vaccines ever again. I believe there is, as you have, your CHD has made very clear to anybody that subscribes to you, that a lot of things about vaccinations we are not being told the truth about. And I've been doing so much research in the last year and a half, and even before that, actually started most of my research after the COVID vaccines were given to the public, because I just didn't believe any of it. None of it made sense. All the things they told us to do to not get COVID, like mask wearing and stay 6 foot apart. And, there was no real studies, and the studies weren't truthful. I see what's happening to children. And I think the number is 72 vaccines by the time they're 18. And when I was a child, I had two. And I'm a very healthy 71-year-old. People don't think I'm 71 years old. And I just think that they're poisoning everybody between the food and the air and the vaccines. And I don't just get that from CHD. I get that from so many things I read from all over the world.
Well, I really salute her and many like her who do the work. She's doing the research, the honest research, and she's come up with the facts. And the facts just cannot be denied. These things are dangerous and deadly. And the idea of giving a child through teenage years, 18, 16, 70 of these concoctions, don't you all understand this is genocide? It's organized, planned, deployed genocide. These people will not live long. They will not live a normal lifespan. They are in many cases going to begin to be afflicted with horrible diseases and disorders that they'll never recover from. And their families, in many cases, will get sick of hearing them complain about their illnesses and to turn on them. We've heard so many stories like that. So if you've got somebody in your family who's vax injured, or even thinks that he or she is vax injured, be kind. Be kind. Because there's nothing lonelier than to be in that position where no one will listen to you.
Yeah, there is some real suffering going on with a lot of these people.
Genocide. And it's not gene therapy. It's gene destruction, because it's disordering what God or whomever gave us. And
That's right.
Never be the same.
It's a genetic modification. I mean, you know, they're programmed. Their cells are now programmed to produce this toxic protein that sheds into the environment.
Right. It's all true. Did you saw the picture that she ran for the CHD when they were smiling was when they were much younger. I didn't realize that until I saw the video. But very happy, nice-looking people, and just like so many of you out there, you're not doing anything wrong. You don't deserve any of this. But the planet is being administered by satanic evil. That's all I can tell you.
No, they are hell-bent on getting the population reduced.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's another story. So that was just another horror condensed into 13, 12 minutes. Shocking.
It just, I mean, 4 years into this and people still can't see it. That's the shocker.
I think it's mostly a case of they don't want to see it. No one wants to admit that they've made a potentially deadly mistake, a bad decision. There's just denial. That's how people act. It's all incredible to me. Nonetheless, it's just absolutely mind-blowing. And the whole idea of brainwashing or threatening or intimidating a public into putting this, any of these vaccines, but especially the COVID shots into little children, is so inhumanly evil. I don't have words. I just can't understand it. Why would you destroy your future? Literally, the future of the species is being sacrificed right in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, we have a few more readers somewhere. Where did they go? Oh, here they are. All right, we. Do you want to do Amy?
We could do Amy.
All right. Is this just a one-off?
The one I'm looking at. Well, there's the baby with amyloidosis, and then we have post-vax amyloidosis.
Okay, go ahead and do the baby.
All right. Hi, I'm in this group to learn more about amyloidosis. My friend's baby has been in the hospital for 2 months, and doctors cannot figure out what is going on with her baby. Baby has had issues with his kidneys. He has had several dialyses. Baby has had swelling of his body, where mom said he was unrecognizable as a baby at one point. He has had lung bleeds, as well as abdominal bleeding and gastrointestinal perforation. His breathing is also bad on his own. And someone asked, where are you? Well, she's from Oregon, but her baby was life-flighted to Washington. I told her about asking the doctors if they had ruled out amyloidosis. She told me that because her baby isn't being affected in the brain area or his tongue is not swollen, that she doesn't think it's amyloidosis, but because of the rest of his symptoms, and the fact that having amyloidosis is rare, that I don't think anyone has thought to look into it. I guess we'll find out more when his biopsy results come back from his bone marrow, possibly tomorrow.
Can you imagine that little baby, what it must...
No.
How confused it must be. It doesn't understand what it's going through. It just wants
probably
to be happy.
Probably in pain.
I the people who are behind this, again, I'm not speaking for Erica. There is no punishment too severe for them. Nothing you could imagine is too severe for those people. That's my take.
No,
it's
I
not
agree.
Human.
No, it's not. You know, there's 16
all
different
right.
ways that you could accomplish a reduction in population. It doesn't have to entail this much
grief.
Suffering. Yeah.
And look, the bastards are getting rich in the process, of course. They're profiting off agony and death. That's why I say nothing too severe could ever be done to them. All right, here's another one. How many people were diagnosed with amyloidosis that got the COVID-19 boosters? I was diagnosed at 64 years of age. My neighbor's friend was just diagnosed and received all the COVID shots and boosters. The spike protein is found on the surface of the virus that causes COVID-19. After the protein piece is made, our cells break down the mRNA and remove it, leaving the body as waste. Wrong.
That's what's supposed
Wrong.
To happen, but no, it
Wrong.
Doesn't really.
Nope.
It copies Next it and it sticks around.
No, permanently. And it's also apparently, from the best we can gather, being shed along with a spike, the mRNA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Next, our cells display the spike protein piece on their surface. Our immune system recognizes the protein does not belong there. Well, okay, that's true. And the top comments for that, I'm so glad to see you addressing this. I fully believe this is exactly what happened to Cliff, whoever Cliff is, when he was sick. He was telling the doctors the shot caused his problems. They would not even respond to that statement. Who will ever admit to this? And someone adds, same as my husband. And the original poster comes back. I don't think the government will admit it for years. I voice my concerns with my oncologist. Another comment, a viral infection is going to stimulate the immune system and cause more inflammation than a vaccine. Last comment, AL amyloidosis can go undiagnosed for years. Well, probably not now. Partly denial and partly misdiagnoses. My husband was vaxxed after his diagnosis. I work directly with dying COVID patients. Thank God we received the vaccine. Thank God we received the vaccine. We both got COVID, but minimally. Remember, I've always said, you want to get COVID? Get the damn shot. You'll get COVID. He was immunosuppressed. Without that vaccine, I am certain he would have died. Believe what you want. Well, I don't know what to say. Thank God we received the vaccine.
There's a lot of people like that.
I guess she'll probably be voting for Trump. That beautiful, beautiful vaccine. Get that beautiful, beautiful vaccine. It won't hurt you. Get that vaccine. How's he going to deal with that? How will history judge him for that? History should throw him in the trash.
He is not, you know, uttered anything. Nothing about it so far.
No. Nope. Okay, there's more. Go ahead.
All right, a couple more. There were actually, this really incited quite a bit of discussion, and the moderator, admin for the group, actually had to shut it down because it was getting heated. Imagine that. But these are just a handful of the comments. All right. This guy says, I got amyloidosis after a COVID infection, not the vaccine. The evidence is pointing to the infection being a trigger, not the vaccine. Well, actually, it's both. certainly appears to be the case for me. I had a pretty severe case of COVID in 2020 before the vaccines were even available. My doctor says the vaccine will make you feel down for a few days, in my case, achy, but it's much better than getting the disease, which can trigger...
What planet are these people on? Oh, that's sad.
Oh, wow. All right, so it's much better than getting the disease, which can trigger much worse outcomes. I'd be cautious on drawing conclusions to the vaccine. It appears to be the opposite. The infection might be a trigger, and the vaccine is protective from long COVID.
Are you kidding me? Is this a joke? All right, go ahead.
Another person replies, I've had COVID a few times, two of which were bad. I had it in May 2024 and was diagnosed with heart issues and AL amyloidosis in July and December, respectively. I did not take any of the shots. I'm a female, 52. So,
wow.
Again, you know, the spike protein, no matter how it gets into you, appears to be the initiator of the, this pathology.
It's the big trigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more. There's, I guess, a couple more.
Yeah, you're right.
During COVID, a whistleblower was saying that the COVID jab was causing protein to attach to the bone marrow, but they tried to shut him up. My very fit wife, who had never been ill, had two COVID jabs. Then in January 2023, wasn't feeling well. Eventually, in April 2023, she was sent to the Royal Free, what the hell that is?
Royal Free Hospital in
London, and was confirmed as having amyloidosis. She died 3 days, 3 weeks later. She was 75, doing 10,000 steps a day. In this photo, she was 71. And the last comment, I took the first two shots and was diagnosed with AT, TRWT.
Yeah, that's a particular type of amyloidosis. What is it, transthyretin?
Don't know.
Yeah. Right.
A year later, however, I had a bunch of the symptoms many years before that. They started out mildly and then progressed over time. I'm not sure if the shots had any effect, but I was certainly sick before the shots. Now, see, that's going to encourage people to think favorably about the shots. I wonder about some of these posts, if they might be AI created.
You know what I think? These people think that because it's called a vaccine, that that's what it's doing. They have no idea.
Yeah.
Of the technology, that this is not a normal vaccine or a traditional vaccine. Even if there's people that think that, oh, the J&J, that was a traditional vaccine. No, it wasn't. That was also a transfection platform. It just used a virus instead of a lipid nanoparticle. But they're being, their cells, whatever cells take up this material, the payload, are being reprogrammed to produce a toxic protein.
That's the mRNA at work. For all those of you who don't know.
Or the DNA in the adenoviral vectors, which was J&J or Janssen,
yep.
AstraZeneca, and the Russian one, which was Sputnik. And all of them shed.
Yes, nonstop. All right, go ahead with the COVID and iron.
Well, how about, all right, we can do that.
Whatever. We got two others. We got the EDTA consequences.
Yeah, let's just address this EDTA thing because people are still taking it. And when this first came out, my warning was don't. You need to be careful with EDTA.
All right, let me start
because,
this.
All right, go ahead.
It's Dr. Artifice again. All right. I took Dr. Artis' EDTA yesterday morning and this morning as well. He says to take one dropper in the morning and one dropper sometime during the day, but I only took one dropper each morning. This evening, I'm experiencing some kidney pain, so the chelation is probably burdening my kidneys. I am very sick from these poisons. I live with two vaccinated people, and unfortunately, I'm too sick to leave right now. I think Dr. Ardis said hydrogen peroxide can be used instead of EDTA, so I'm going to look into that. But I also made a mistake. He said to take a multi-mineral vitamin in the evening every day to replenish the minerals, and mine has calcium in it. I took that last night, and that means I have too much calcium for my kidneys to handle. I guess if you take into account the calcium in the EDTA as well as the supplemental calcium. So I don't know really what to do. I'm just trying my best to get better again so I can move out of this place, which it has become so challenging to live in for me. Yes, yes, indeed. Well, you know, it's funny, when people have a painful or a negative reaction where anything is alleged to detox, they always think Herxheimer's. They never think anything else. They think, well, it's got to be something to do with getting rid of all of these toxins. That's why my kidneys hurt or whatever. Not necessarily true. Anyway, go ahead with the second part.
No, I know. It could be really wreaking havoc, and I warned about this. All right. A couple days later, she's back. Okay, now I'm afraid I've poisoned myself with EDTA. What the heck is the truth? Ugh. I just want to get better. How long does it stay in the system? My kidneys still have issues now. This is so hard to navigate. How can people take this every day? I took one dose over 2 days, and it hurt me. I'm having eyesight problems now, too.
That's bad.
And
that's
just one sensible piece of advice.
Not good.
Someone says, your body needs minerals. As EDTA, remove the minerals. Find a natural path to help you. And that's probably the best advice to give somebody like that. These people are trying to navigate, you know, just a den of vipers out there. Hucksters, grifters. And the thing with EDTA is it can be used to chelate primarily lead. But it can also mobilize other metals, and it's very dangerous if you have a high body burden or any body burden of mercury, because it can mobilize that mercury and move it around, but not actually get it out. And it may actually move it into the brain.
Oh, good.
The other thing that EDTA does that a lot of people don't know is that it disrupts biofilms. It's a very good biofilm disruptor. And in some formulas of antibiotics, you'll actually see that they put a little bit of EDTA in there, and that is to break open a biofilm so that the antibiotics can get at the bacteria.
Oh, interesting.
And so, you know, what happened with this person? She could have, you know, stirred up some metals, and if her liver and kidneys aren't working...
And the metals just toxified her whole
system. They circulate, and they cause oxidative stress, and... inflammation, or she could have inadvertently opened up a biofilm, broken down biofilm, and now you've got all kinds of bacteria because they're polymicrobial. There's never just one bacteria that creates a biofilm. They live in colonies. And so if you bust open their house, so to speak, well, they begin moving around, and your immune system now sees these things, and who knows how it's going to respond.
You don't want to evict them.
So these things that are being sold are you know, as remedies for shedding, they don't know what they're talking about. They really don't. Nobody's assessed these people for what their problems are.
Now, these are very dangerous things to do, and it's just part of the evil that's at work out there.
EDTA... It is known to damage kidneys. That has happened. It's not an exaggeration. It has happened. Usually it's with an IV, but even taking it orally, there's a risk.
Yeah, I concur. And I'm left with the thought, do the people, the hucksters pushing EDTA, know about what you just covered in part? Do they know that, and they're doing it anyway to make a buck?
Of course.
think the answer is exactly that?
They don't care.
No.
You know, you take these things at your own risk.
You know, for all of you out there, Eric and I have talked to her. We could have launched our own formulation of supplementation years ago and sold a lot of it. But we're not in this for that. That's not the reason we're doing this work. We're trying to counter exactly what you just heard. Someone cast adrift with symptoms, problems now, and no support. No idea what's going on.
Yeah.
It's really evil, evil stuff. All right, let's close up shop tonight. Great job. Thank you. And get some sleep.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
Good night, everyone.
All right, we will be right back in just a few minutes after the top of the hour break.